Hi, and welcome to the RHS podcast today, which is focusing on diabetes awareness. I'm Claire Murphy, HR business partner at the RHA. I'm delighted to be joined today by Kate Walker, CEO of the Diabetes Safety Organisation. We've been involved working in partnership with Kate for probably about the last 18 months and supporting raising awareness across the industry. I'm also delighted to be joined by our very own Paula Lira, who is our technical director, and also Andrew Fowler, who's the owner of Fowler's Coaches and member of the RHA. Paul and Andrew both have lived experience of diabetes, and so we'll be talking through their experiences and their diagnosis stories. So welcome to you all today. So welcome, Andrew. It's great to have you here today. Thank you so much for coming along to talk about your experience. If you wouldn't mind just talking us through how your diagnosis came about, that'd be great.
Okay, hello everybody. It all started during the COVID pandemic. I obviously went to the doctors to have a COVID vaccination. And during the process, the nurse said to me, before I do this, she said, I've got something quite important to ask you. So I said, well, what's that? She said, firstly, she said, do you recognise me? So I said, no. I said, should I? She said, well, yes, you should really. She said, because I've been writing to you for the last four, maybe 5 years. So I said, really? I said, that's news to me. So she said, well, who do you think writes the letters for your health checkup? She said, well, what have you done with it? I said, well, they're in the bin, I said, because there's nothing wrong with me, I feel fine. Well, she said, I'd quite agree. She said, you look okay. And she said, but you might not be. She said, does that ever cross your mind? I said, well, not really. I said, because I'm fine. There's nothing wrong. I said, I'm fine. Anyway, the end of it is that I gave in and went for this health check. Well, during the health check, they found that I'd got touch of blood pressure, which has been sorted, and going through the relevant test, it came to their attention and mine that yes, I was diabetic. That was the starting point, but it's you think, well, it'll blow over because I've not got that can't be me, you see. But anyway, once you get into the throes of the system and do Lucozade checks and blood tests after blood tests and stuff, you then get to meet a diabetic nurse who sits you down and does a few checks of her own and puts you fairly straight. And to be quite honest, the outcome is quite frightening. And thought, well, this can't really be happening to me, but because I feel fine. Luckily, I've never had any of the symptoms, and I thought, well, this can't be happening, but anyway, it certainly was happening. Mm-hmm. I went home quite frightened of the implications of not doing something, and then I also felt quite daft that I hadn't taken the opportunity 5 years earlier to go through the tests. Once you get over the initial impact of it, it's not quite so bad. It's resulted in me losing quite a lot of weight, 3.5 stone or more.
Wow.
And I wouldn't say I feel much better, but I obviously feel better. And the offshoot of it is that I'm obviously trying to look after myself now. Had I not been tested, or just something would have happened one day and that would have been it, and might not have been quite where we are today.
Wow.
I can still do everything I want, I just have to mind what I'm doing. It is, the worst thing is, it's quite, for a chap of my age, it's quite shattering for a start. You think, oh my God, this is it.
The shock, yeah.
The shock, it's quite, you know, which is probably which kick-start you into
change
and looking after yourself. And now it's the regular appointments, everything's going quite well, and hopefully I'll I'll be healthier for longer.
Oh, good. No, I'm so pleased, and thank you for that. Andrew, what advice would you give to others and the industry as a whole following having lived this?
Well, obviously, at my age, I worked through a time where health conditions were irrelevant. Nobody thought about them. I've worked long hours. Some days you'd go without food, some days you'd eat too much. You'd eat at 10 o'clock at night instead of 7 o'clock. Transport industry is a very difficult thing. It's a public service. You have to, like us with our coaches, if somebody wants a coach at that time, somebody has to do it. It doesn't fit in with having your breakfast at 7:30, lunch at 1, which looking back, you think, well, you know, this perhaps I should have done more, but in those days, 35, 40 years ago, nobody even thought about it. But now, when people are thinking about it, it's become important, then people really should take notice of it. Had I done that earlier, I probably wouldn't have ended up with it, would I? Nobody knows that answer, but I probably would have been a lot healthier.
Thank you. Great advice.
Thank you so much. It is as simple as that. All of a sudden you meet that brick wall and then you've got to do something about it. But the sooner you can do that, obviously it's better for everybody, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I'm lucky. I caught it slightly late, but at the right time before anything bad happened.
And you're managing it.
We're not managing it. Once you get used to it, it's a way of life. I have to say it's a healthier way of life that I probably wouldn't have followed.
Yeah, that's a great story.
In fact, I'm quite sure I wouldn't have followed it because I would have just gone on like I was.
Yeah.
And which is what...
You've turned things around.
Human nature.
Absolutely, thank you. Thanks for your time, Andrew.
Thank you.
So, Paul, thanks so much for joining us today. Having had the condition for over 20 years, do you mind talking us through how you manage day to day, Paul?
Quite easily, actually. Obviously, through experience and all the time about it and listening to what Andrew has said earlier, then I did have some symptoms. But like Andrew, you go into denial, you haven't got it. There's reasons why you don't want to talk about it because things are happening with your body. Especially when you come to passing water and things like that. And you don't realise. Mine started with my vision. That was the first thing that I noticed. But it's when the opticians, the glasses, everything's fine. But yet, everything's still happening with my body. This can't be right. But doing a lot of hours working, a lot of travelling, grabbing silly food. That wasn't silly, but you know, you'd buy 5 for £1 and then, oh, they'll last me all week and they've all gone by Tuesday, and that kind of stuff. And thinking I was tired, so I was drinking drinks. I see a lot of children and people drinking drinks today that I think, really, if only you knew what I knew. And trying to keep me alive and awake, basically, you know, and alert. So I had all that, but in the end, eventually, I couldn't work it anymore, and I lost weight for the right reason. Well, I lost weight because something happened, and I was told by a physiotherapist that I needed to lose weight because, like Andrew mentioned about the weight loss he's had, mine were just under 5 stone that I lost because I was tipping the scales right into the 20 bit, which is not a very good place to be. So it all kicked off. I've got diabetes. The doctor, I'd been feeding diabetes and I didn't go straight away until eventually I was in so much discomfort that I had to go. And that day I went, the doctor wanted to send for an ambulance to put me into hospital to stabilise my bloods because my content was so high. So we did what we had to do. I didn't have to go to hospital. And from that day, so I've had type 2 diabetes for over 20 years, as you said, and I've gone from worrying about everything that I eat, checking everything that I eat, to my own management. Because if you look at everything contains sugar, and It's not about giving up sugar completely. It's about reducing your amount of sugar. And over the years now, you get experience. So I would have, if I'd carried on like I did in the first place, like throwing everything out of the cupboards, yeah, going into a certain shop on the high street to buy diabetic chocolate that tastes absolutely horrible, you know, I would have, my world would have been horrible. So now what I do is I have the same as what I used to do before, a lot smaller quantities and not as often as I used to have before. And that's about the management of it. But if I can give anybody any advice on this is, if, like Andrew said, don't ignore that letter. He did, but don't ignore that letter when it comes. And if you are having any symptoms, talk to somebody about it. I didn't want to talk to people about it because, you know, men, we're terrible at talking. We should learn a lesson from the girls who talk to each other and share notes with each other. Men, it's time you started sharing notes with other men.
Thanks, Paul. What a brilliant story. Thanks so much for sharing with us. Thanks to Andrew and Paul for sharing your stories today. So, Kate, welcome. What were your thoughts having heard Andrew and Paul's stories today?
Yeah, I mean, it's been quite incredible to hear the stories and really grateful that they've been shared, because I don't think it is easy to share these sorts of lived experiences. And I certainly, from the world of diabetes, unless people really truly share, I think it's hard to understand the real magnitude of the problem. And it's, I think it's very brave to share the experiences. So thank you both. For me, it really highlights what we're trying to do and raise awareness around diabetes. It is 1 in 12. As Andrew said, you know, it's never going to happen to me, and sadly it did. And I think this is what we're trying to say, is how do we get people to take it seriously, recognise that caught early, something can be done, and actually it can be reversed. So I think we really need to take on board what's been said today. And if there are signs or symptoms or concerns, or you've had that letter, you might put it in the bin, you can still phone the GP. I do think it's worth getting those tests. 1 in 12 is a serious number. We know gentlemen particularly may not present to their GPs as regularly. And I think if we can get more people there, there's a lot that can be done, and we could really slow down the complications and the risks. I think it is worthy of note, if we don't get tested, it's, you know, there's 190 amputations a week in the UK from diabetes. It's 550 strokes. The numbers and the data is really frightening. And it's not to scare people. It's to say, get something done. And like we've heard today, life can be normal, just slightly healthier.
Absolutely. Great advice. And Kate, what can people do to look after themselves?
And I think we've heard again from both Andrew and Paul today, it's small changes. And we're very passionate about that. So how do we do those small changes? And we've got a big one, less campaign with yourselves.
Yes.
Something as small as having one less sugar in a coffee, 6 coffees or teas a day, it's a kilogram less a month. So I think, you know, one less. So instead of having maybe 3, we could have 2. Or, you know, instead of 2, have 1. And those people think, well, it won't make a difference. But actually, over the whole period, it'll make a significant difference. And if you do the sugar, it could be as much as 12 bags of sugar a year with just 1 spoonful less. So we really advocate that small change to make a difference to health, and could even prevent diabetes for some people.
Thank you, Kate. And once again, thank you to Kate for joining us, and to Andrew and Paul. It's been absolutely brilliant to hear your stories, and hopefully people can relate and learn more around what to do going forward. So thank you so much.